Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas with The Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And a couple things we'll talk about Forge Cellars this morning in the top 100 of Wine Spectator. There's a wine CSA that you can join. And Megan Frank hosted a virtual tasting yesterday for people who had joined the wine CSA. It is not specific to Dr. Frank, that was just the featured winery for December, and they feature a different winery each month with kind of a curated selection of wines. The Dr. Frank wines that were part of the CSA shipment for December included Hilda, which is one of a group of wines featuring or highlighting the women of the Dr. Frank family. There's Lena, which is a red, Hilda, and Margaret, which is Willie's wife. And it really is a cool idea to celebrate the women who've been a key part, obviously, of the team of Dr. Frank over the years, and beautiful labels also for this series. And then a sparkling wine, and there's Saperavi, or the three wines, part of the CSA this month. That's run by an organization out of Ithaca, and you can get more details, look it up. It's Ithaca Wine Adventures that is behind this, and I think it's a cool idea. I joined partly because I was looking forward to seeing which wineries they would choose, and obviously I've known Dr. Frank Wines for decades, but they'll also be choosing some that probably I'm not as familiar with. Last month was Boundary Breaks, which is not on one of the main routes in the Finger Lakes. It's in Lodi, but it's a ways off the main road. You kind of have to go in search of it. Most of the wineries in the Finger Lakes are right on the main roads, whether it's 414 heading down to Watkins Glen, or 14 on the west side of Seneca Lake, or 89 on the west side of Cayuga Lake, or 54 over on Cuca Lake. So Boundary Breaks is relatively new. They're not really that new, but they do have a newer tasting room. It used to be that you would taste wines in Bruce Murray's kitchen, which was a very cool house. Not a big house, but a historic house, that was kind of fun to taste wines. You make an appointment and taste them in his kitchen. It was sort of an open format first floor, and it was just a beautiful place to taste wine. But now it has a really gorgeous tasting room, and a lot of for the fall season had a lot of outdoor seating, and also this summer. So Boundary Breaks is one that doesn't market itself maybe at all in Rochester. They really target New York City. Bruce used to live in New York City, and I think it was in the advertising business. The winery is a second career for him, and some tremendous wines. They really started out making only Riesling, and that's still mainly what they make. But they differentiated themselves early on. This is probably maybe 12 years ago, somewhere in that range, by producing different clones. The wineries in general grow specific clones of Riesling, which actually sounds a really kind of odd when you consider, you think of a clone as being identical copy. In the wine world, at least, clones are the same grape, so Riesling in this case, but but small variations in how they grow and the flavors they produce. So it's, you know, it's kind of like a clone, you know, if you cloned your dog or your cat, but, you know, one of them had longer whiskers and, you know, slightly longer hair and, you know, slightly calmer personality. I mean, just minor variations, but that's what these clones are all about in the wine world. And but they're not talked about at all and with the public. And up until Bruce put the clone numbers on the bottles and bottled them separately, 98% of the wine drinking public probably had no idea that there were clones of these grapes. And it's not just Riesling, it's pretty much all the grapes. This perhaps was, I'm not sure when talking about these clone numbers within the wine world became a trend. I think before that, people would talk about sources of the vines, and it was perhaps known less by clone numbers than by sources. So vineyard managers, winery owners would source grapes from specific places or try to propagate them from specific vines that were slightly better or slightly different. It's really kind of a fascinating world to delve into, and Bruce Maria Boundary Breaks was really maybe one of the first in the country. I don't know of any other specified clonal releases anywhere else in the country. There may be some, but I need to ask him that at some point. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was the first to do that. And I think really it helps to the general public to understand more about what's behind the wines that we're drinking, and the amount of work, the amount of science, the amount of preparations, you know, looking for specific clones, trying to source those, that happens in the vineyard. So Boundary Breaks was maybe the first. Yeah, November was the first shipment, and wine CSA sort of opening month. And I think you can join at any time, and you pay, it's like $89 a month. It may vary some too, and you get three wines shipped to you for that price. Generally, the premium wines from the wineries. So if you went to the winery, you would probably pay, you know, at least $20, in some cases $30 a bottle, maybe sometimes more. There may be some library selections that come into the wine CSA at some point from certain wineries. And that's actually one of the reasons I did this and joined the wine CSA, was to see what these wineries picked, not just which wineries were involved, but which wines did they pick to feature. And so there's a virtual wine tasting as part of the CSA. There's a bunch of materials. It's more than just a shipment of wine. And, you know, there's the CSA community supported agriculture. That idea really started to a large degree here in Rochester, or North Rose to be more specific. Piecework Farm and Elizabeth Henderson was one of the founders of, I think, one of the founders of Piecework Farm, or was there for a quarter of a century at least, and has written a book called Sharing the Harvest about CSAs, because when they started the one at Piecework Farm, it was, I think, one of the first in the country, and it's still going. You can still join the Piecework CSA for 2021, and you should inquire and join early. you know, by you want to be looking into this by February, because they often sell out their shares. But so a CSA, you get a share of the farm produce each week, generally from June through October or so, and you but you pay up front for that, which helps the farmers, and in the end, the consumer gets usually does not get to choose which vegetables they get, but usually a broad range of them, and you end up with some vegetables that you may have never heard of, and that's actually kind of fun to figure out how to cook them. Often CSAs have recipes that they send out or make available, you know, online to their members, and so it's an exploration of the produce from the farm. It gives the farmer flexibility in that they don't need to give you, you know, 2 pounds of broccoli and, you know, 12 carrots every week. They can give you what's in season and what's doing well that year. Some years the broccoli doesn't do well. Some years it does amazingly well and you end up with, you know, bumper crops. So it gives the farmer lots of flexibility. It gives the consumer, I think in general, a great bargain on produce. And certainly you know where your produce is coming from. But kind of in exchange for that flexibility, I think the farms in general give you, sort of they have a bumper crop of, you end up with probably extra of to some degree. And it just, we've been members of quite a few different CSAs over many years, including Peacework and a bunch of others. And you end up with a lot of produce. I think it's a great bargain in general. And so there's also bread CSAs, there's meat CSAs. The idea has grown quite a bit, and this is now a wine CSA. So if you want details, email me, michael@saverlife.com. You can look up wine CSA also probably and search for it very easily. So we'll see what the next shipments bring. I'm looking forward to it. And three fantastic Dr. Frank wines as part of our first shipment. This December was the first month that we participated. It'll be fun to see how this idea evolves. So Wine CSA, you can join now to get the January shipment. I don't know which winery it is, but there'll be some fantastic wines, I'm sure. So I hope you consider shipping. They also, the wineries sometimes have discounts for members of the Wine CSA. Dr. Frank, for example, had a free shipping and 15% off any six bottles or more purchase by Wine CSA members. So at least for December, I don't know how long that offer will continue. It may just be for the month that Dr. Frank was featured, but a good deal. The Dr. Frank sparkling wines are just fantastic, and they don't get enough publicity and notoriety. Rieslings do. Dr. Frank's won tons of awards. They've won medals and great acclaim in competitions for their sparkling wine. But the wine press has not written about it much. And Eric Asimov had a column a week ago, 10 days ago, in the New York Times about 10 sparkling wines for the new year. And some cool descriptions. There's some really interesting wines. About half of them are more expensive or way more expensive than the sparkling wines from the Finger Lakes. But I liked a couple of his descriptions. I don't know that we can find these wines. He lists where to find them in New York City, or in this case, says that Kermit Lynch, wine merchant, carries this one, and that means You know, you could go to a wine store and they could probably order this for you. It's a $20 method champenoise. And this, you know, to find inexpensive ones, you don't go to Champagne. You go to the Savoy region, Savoie, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, which is, it says Eastern France, and he calls it, he says it's fresh and energetic, tastes almost like walking through a cool cloud on a hot summer day, which sounds intriguing in the middle of winter. It's subtle and insinuating with flavors that never quite reveal themselves, so you want to keep returning to the glass. It's the wine is made of two grapes largely seen in that region that I'd never heard of, Molet and Altesse, two grape varieties that I've never seen in the Finger Lakes. We seem to grow almost every grape variety in the world, but these are two that I've never heard of. And so for $20, you know, I'd like to try that. That sounds intriguing. And they also had one made with Elbling grape from Alsace and the Mosel. This one's a German Elbling, Elbling, another grape variety that I hadn't heard of. And this Upper Mosel, where this one is from, is near the Luxembourg border, and this area is not known for Riesling, but for this grape, this Elbling. It says an ancient variety that early in the 19th century accounted for 75% of the vines in Germany. That's $20 also. So another interesting wine that I'd like to try at some point. But none of these, none of the wines that were included were from the Finger Lakes. And he has written about Finger Lakes wines quite a bit, and probably occasionally about Finger Lakes sparkling wines. But there are many of them in the Finger Lakes, and they are really delicious. And if you don't have time to go down to visit a winery to pick it up, and it's obviously they can't ship it now to get it to you for New Year's, or unlikely to make it to you in time for New Year's Eve. Casa Larga is right here in Rochester, 15 minutes to get there, right near Eastview Mall, and they have fantastic sparkling wine, a really, really good one, along with many other wines that you should try when you're there. They've added some new ones in the last year or so. Came out with a Syrah and a Pet Nat. They've got a lot of cool things to choose from, a port style wine. So if you're looking for a sparkling wine from the local area, it can be hard to find it at the wine stores. Casa Larga is easy to find, and you can do a curbside pickup there, really maybe stock up on a few other wines. I think their Cab Merlot blend is one of the best bargains in dry red wines for everyday drinking. A wonderful dry red, and a ton of other varieties. They make, I don't know how many different wines they make, but it's in the several dozen. So there's lots to try. One other thing that Casa Larga does that very few wineries do is that they put the IRF, the International Riesling Foundation, scale of sweetness, dry to sweet, on the back of all of their bottles. So this is a scale that's being used more and more for Riesling bottles, which is helpful because Riesling can vary so much, and it's hard to tell by the description on the front of the bottle. You know, if it says just says Riesling, you know, is it dry? Is it semi-dry? Is it semi-sweet? You don't really know unless you're familiar with that winery. And the whole idea of this scale is to give people more confidence in buying Rieslings from the shelf in a store when they're not knowledgeable about the winery and what, you know, what the winery considers dry or semi-dry. Or there are still some wineries that just put Riesling on the label, which is, I think, not so helpful. If you just see Riesling, I would assume it's a semi-dry, but I don't think that's always the case. So this, you look on the back of the bottle, you'll see this IRF scale of dry to sweet, and you can get a sense for what's in that bottle. And so Kesselerger has adapted this for all of its wines because there are some of its several reds that they have a little bit of sweetness in, and there are some you have blushes, you have things like Gewürztraminer. Chardonnays you wouldn't tend to see more sweetness in, but Gewürztraminer and Muscat Otonel and many other wines that they make, it's very helpful to have this scale in the back of the bottle. So another reason to look for Kesselerger wines when you're out shopping for wine. So again, keep in mind their sparkling wine is available in their tasting room. I did not check to see if they've sold out. That is possible. I'd say maybe not likely, but it is possible. I say not likely because I think wine sales for wineries in general are down. Local wineries are down this year just because of visitation is down so much. If you're going there only to get a sparkling wine, maybe call first and also check their hours and things if you go this week. But get some other wines to try while you're there. Often wineries will give you a discount if you buy a case, and you can get 4 reds, 4 whites, 2 sparkling wines, a couple other things, and fill a couple, maybe a ice wine and a dry rosé, and you got a nice case of wine to see you through the part of this winter. But there was a several wineries posted a it was a graph from the Wine Educators Society or Wine Economics Society, something like that, which showed wine sales by kind of wine group, and basically what it showed was that there are a couple of big wineries like Gallo and Francia and Constellation, which have seen their wine sales go up this year and are selling a huge percentage of the wine market, the wine sales. They are really dominating the market to a surprising degree. And we'll talk about more next week on the first broadcast of 2021, but it's something to consider and maybe a reason to buy more local wines rather than supporting these mega corporations, which are doing quite well right now, frankly, in the midst of this pandemic. And the local wineries, they're struggling. This has been a brutal year for them, partly because local wineries tend to sell a lot of their wine from their tasting rooms and restaurants. And those visitations are down a tremendous amount. Not 5 or 10%, but like 60 or 70%. There was like several days when Glenora said that they had like 90% fewer visitors than they had last year on that day, and you just can't make that up in other ways. So you could argue Constellation is a local winery. It's not locally owned. It is a stock that's traded. It is run locally, I suppose, here, and They have lots of employees here. It's great to have them here, but really they are in a different category. And so I'm thinking about the locally owned, family operated wineries, of New York State in general, Arrowhead, Spring Vineyards in Western New York, and other wineries all around us are all struggling. So you can have wine shipped to you. You can do curbside pickup. It is a beautiful drive if you go out Route 31 or Route 104, see the cobblestones and other cool architecture as you head west and go to Arrowhead Spring Vineyards just north of Lockport. Pretty much any direction you drive, you'll find wineries. And, you know, if you're feeling stuck at home and just, locked down, take a drive to do a curbside pickup, perhaps, or go in a tasting room and pick out 12 wines. You won't be in there long, and you don't have to stay and taste if you don't want to. The wineries are very quiet this time of the year. After October, the wineries get very, very quiet. I visited a couple wineries last Friday, a week ago, and there's maybe one other person in there, two other people, and went into Tabora Winery and Bakery, wanted to visit their bakery, actually, which had a huge selection. They're down kind of near Glenora, and also stopped in at Fulkerson and Fox Run. Again, tasting rooms were super, super quiet, which is why the wineries do like their holiday events normally, because if they don't do that, the tasting rooms are vacant or just too quiet. So that's why these wine trail events have been going on for so many years. January, February, I would check hours if you're going to a specific winery, but they're going to be very quiet, and even on weekends, relatively few visitors in a normal year, much less during a pandemic in the winter. So if you're looking to socially distance, that kind of naturally happens during the winter in winery tasting rooms. And some wineries may be doing appointments. I would not assume that everything is, the hours are normal. I would check, and if you're, again, going to a specific winery as your goal, check ahead with them, maybe make an appointment, and then you'll find some other wineries open pretty easily, I think. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. I mentioned earlier, Forge Cellars is on the Wine Spectator Top 100 list. Congratulations to them. This just came out a week ago. It was this past Monday, I think. And, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Time flies. And this is, I think, the highest Finger Lakes wine has ever been on the top 100. They're number 31 for their dry Classique Riesling, which is only $19 a bottle, according to Wine Spectator, and their 2018 vintage. This is, I think, the Riesling they make the most of, which is good because a better chance of finding it. I think it said they made 4,000 cases of this, which is a lot for a wine in the Finger Lakes. There's often hundreds of cases made of many of the wines. So that's good news. And it's also probably going to appear on a bunch of best buy lists because it is one of the less expensive wines on that top 100 list of wines from around the world. So these are, and I think Wine Spectator bills it as the most interesting, the most exciting wines of 2020, and they specifically designed this list so it's not, the 100 most expensive wines of 2020, but includes a wide range of prices. I think the number one wine is $140, but they have some wines that are in the $12, $14, $15 range, and not many, a couple, $17, $18, $19, and then on up. So congratulations to Forge. They've done an amazing job with Riesling. It's a collaboration partnership with Rick Rainey and Justin Boyette and Louis Barol. Rick and Justin are from the Finger Lakes, Louis Barol from France. And earlier article in Wine Spectator was called The Genius of Gigandas. Chateau Saint-Côme, which is spelled C-O-S-M-E. Chateau Saint-Côme is one of the preeminent wineries, not just in Gigandas, Rhone Valley, but also in France and in the world. This truly a world-class producer, and his connections around the world for distribution have helped Forge Cellars become available in something like 24 countries within a couple years of the launch of the winery. First vintage was 2011, and that wasn't probably released until 2013 or so. So they have they're relatively new, and as I said yesterday, I think on the food show, they've scored 90 points or more for every single Riesling they've made, and they make quite a few now, single vineyard Rieslings. It's a pretty extraordinary record to score 90 or more in Wine Spectator, which is generally the hardest grading publication out there. I'm sure there's debate about that, but that's my impression. And again, 90 points earned by every Forge Cellars Riesling that's been produced, even their very first one. So great story. And they now have a tasting room, but I think by appointment only. And it's really their production space with some areas for tasting. On the east side of Seneca Lake, not far from Hector Wine Company, and I don't know what's right near them, but they are up off of 414, a few hundred yards, really, but it's not visible or not obvious from 414 where they are. But it helps the whole region to have them on the top 100 list. And exciting to have them at number 31. At some point, there will be a Finger Lakes wine in the top 10. I would guess, it might be a couple years away, but I think it'll happen, I don't know, maybe in the next 5 years. I don't know. It's going to be fun to see. But the Finger Lakes has been on this list almost every year, not quite every year. They weren't on it last year, but I think at least 1 year they've had two wines on the top 100. So I think Wine Spectator, at least for the month of December, has free access online. So go to winespectator.com. You can look up the top 100 for this year, but you also can look back at previous top 100s if you want to for fun, or peruse the rest of their site again for free during this the month that they release the top 100. Again, I hope for New Year's Eve you perhaps have a local sparkling wine to enjoy. Again, if not, you can get one as easily as by going to Casa Larga. Again, call ahead to make sure that they're not sold out of them. Can't wait to say goodbye to 2020, as I'm sure almost everyone probably agrees, and hope for a much better year in 2021. We'll be back with the first broadcast of 2021 next Saturday. Gardening Restaurants, Discover the Finger Lakes here at SavorLife.com. Have a safe New Year's Eve, and be careful over the next couple of months. It's going to be a big challenge to get through the start of the new year. I'll be back in a week. Michael Warren Thomas here at SavorLife.com.